98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big League Blast.
There are outcomes, there are expectations, and the Cardinals exceeded in both categories on Sunday. Their thunderous victory over the Titans did not go unnoticed across the country. LeBron James raved about Chandler Jones. Colin Cowherd practically awarded the MVP trophy to Kyler Murray, and the Cardinals were one of a few teams to make serious impact statements in Week 1, making this overreaction Monday something to behold in Arizona. But there were two things about this victory that make me feel differently. One, the potential star power in Arizona. Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins combined for a pair of next-level touchdowns. Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt destroyed the line of scrimmage. Buda Baker stole a sure touchdown from the Titans, and as the Cardinals star players began making signature plays on Sunday, everyone else found their groove in their lane, from Christian Kirk to Rondale Moore to James Conner. Finally, there was the attitude of a football team that carried as many questions as captains into Week 1. There were many football experts who had them in the bottom third of their power rankings as those who had them in the top 10. But the Cardinals did more than win a road game that unlocked the doors to a potential 3-0 start. They played with a physicality, a vibe, and a swagger that almost jumped off the television screen, and that's exactly what they're going to need if they're going to compete in the NFC West. All right, today's Bickley Blast, brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Test drive the ultimate driving machine at the newly renovated Chapman BMW in Chandler at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
Snap to Murray, straight drop back, and throws a fade deep right side over the shoulder. Catch by Kirk in the end zone for a touchdown. Kyler Murray sprinted backwards, a 10-step drop, and then just lobbed it up into the air over the shoulder of Christian Kirk. He couldn't see the ball until it landed in his hands for a touchdown.
This is the most impressive we've seen all three phases play in the Cliff Kingsbury era.
This feels a lot different. He had a block punt last year. This feels a lot different than that San Fran game. Tannehill on fourth down, hit and sacked. It's Chandler Jones. 5 sacks on the day for 55. Chandler Jones making some money.
Dave Pascher on Wolfley on the call. I like when they realize, when Wolf realized that it was Chandler Jones with his 5th sack, and you just hear him go, no. Just an unbelievable performance by Chandler Jones. And you hit the nail on the head, the blast, Big. It kind of trickled down to everybody. Can you pick out anybody who didn't play well that was on the field yesterday? I mean, nobody really struggled.
A.J. Green didn't impact the game at all.
Yeah, I mean, 2 catches for 20-some-odd yards, but it wasn't a factor, but didn't play poorly.
No.
And Isabel.
It was just ruthless, Jared.
He was there. He was active.
He was. He had the uniform on.
What was his snap count? Did he even get in the field?
DNP.
Yeah. I don't recall seeing Andy Isabel.
Only
on the
he
field
and
yesterday.
Colt McCoy were active and did not play.
That's how far down you have to go to find anyone who didn't even have an impactful game. That's how impactful everybody was.
Yeah. Well, listen, and this is kind of, once again, the star power here, it goes back once again to something Kurt Warner told us back in 2015 when the Cardinals were on their way to the NFC Championship game. And this big debate raged about, was that team better than the 08 team that made the Super Bowl? And Kurt Warner made a very interesting point. He said, the team is not better, but that 08 team had big-time players who could make big-time plays in big-time games, and you got to have that. And that, to me, is what looks different, potentially, about this football team. If Kyler Murray is ready to be that MVP candidate, and everything about his performance yesterday indicates that he is, if Chandler Jones is really going to play with this kind of chip on his shoulder the entire season, if he is going to put forth the best sack total in the history of the NFL, and he is off to a good start, then you're talking about a team that yes, you can believe in this. This is not just a good weekend for the Arizona Cardinals, and that's a different thing to me. And yesterday's game was... I did not see that game coming. I did not see the Titans struggling the way they did. The Titans and their fans were absolutely stunned at what they were watching.
Oh, absolutely.
Handing the ball off to Derrick Henry. This is a guy who rushed for over 2,000 yards last year. And now he's getting trapped in the backfield almost every carry. And the Cardinals were sensational at creating disruptive plays on first down that just threw the Titans off schedule. And they couldn't do anything. So, to me, this opens the door to a 3-0 start. You've got a home game against Minnesota now, who lost on the road to Cincinnati. And then you've got Jacksonville. So, winning that game yesterday is, to me, it opens the road is wide open now.
Yeah, Jacksonville took 1 week to wrestle away the label of worst team in the NFL away from the Houston Texans.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Because they got dominated.
There's no doubt about it.
It wasn't just like the Tennessee fans that were shell-shocked. Mike Vrabel kind of sounded shell-shocked after the game and what the Cardinals dealt to his team.
It's disappointing when you lose. It's disappointing when you lose at home. You know, it's a long season. It's a long season. You know, you play like that, there should be no shock. You know, we shouldn't have to look too long and hard why you lost the game. There's a lot of reasons it's out there. And I'm confident that we'll bounce back and we'll be, we'll be ready to compete, this week. And I'm confident that I am, but it's unfortunate. It is disappointing. There is no other way to put it. It sucks when you lose, sucks when you get your ass kicked. All the credit to Cliff and his staff and those players. You know, they beat us and outcoached us.
Yeah.
All right, now think about that. Think about how many times as Cardinals fans we have just been enraged at hearing Cliff Kingsbury constantly compliment the other coach who just handed him his backside.
They had a good plan for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they flipped the tables on them dramatically. And that's, this is a football team that needed a jolt of credibility in the worst way because of the way they ended last season. And for 1 week, it all came together. They started fast like we hoped they would. The offense looked good like we hoped it would. I certainly had doubts after that preseason game in Kansas City. But look, they were good enough. And here's the other thing, too. At the time, when I talk about the star power of this football team, the moment that it first revealed itself was the touchdown pass from Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins. That came on a third down when the Cardinals were going backwards again due to penalties. They had to settle for a field goal on their first possession, a possession that featured almost as many penalty yards going backwards as yards going forward.
True.
And then you had first and goal from the basically foot line, and you're going backwards again. That star power of those two men on that play stopped that narrative.
Yeah, and again, we talked about Chandler Jones setting the tone with the tackle for loss, but offensively, it took a little while longer to set the tone, but that touchdown pass certainly did that.
Yep.
You can text Red Sea right now to 620-620 and listen for your name today at 135 and 335. You can win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener this Sunday, plus one grand prize winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey courtesy of Pristine Auction. Once again, that's Red Sea to 620-620. Coming up next, we talked so much in the preseason about the linebacker position, what it would look like when things were for real for the Arizona Cardinals. We got our first look, and there were some interesting takeaways from it. We'll get into them next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure for any coordinator, for any team, you know, you come into playing the Titans, you know, you got to think about stopping him. Rushing for 2,000 a season is something, that's not very normal. So, run game is definitely something that's big. So, being able to check that box off was great.
So, Isaiah Simmons, linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals, talking about the effort defensively. We talked about it so much going into this game, Bick, about Derrick Henry. He makes the offense go, 2,000-yard rusher. There was so much talk about, can he do it 2 years in a row? Derrick Henry finished 17 attempts for 58 yards, and I think those numbers were actually inflated because the Cardinals took him so far out of the game early on that he was able to pad those stats in the second half. That was a dominating performance against what has been a dominating player. And Isaiah Simmons had a big part of it. Jordan Hicks had a big part of it. How much time do we spend talking about Jordan Hicks and his plight this preseason and this offseason? And guess who played the most defensive snaps and started the game? Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, that's there's a little egg on their face about that. I mean, and you just can't deny it. Because what would this team have done yesterday without Jordan Hicks? All the people who claim that he was just a dreadful player last year, that was never the case. That was just never, ever the case. But the bottom line is, I think what the Cardinals' defensive line was able to do was exactly what they need to do to compensate for the inexperience. I thought Isaiah Simmons played a terrific game. He looked to me, and I wasn't focusing on him exclusively, but it looked like he wasn't thinking too much. It looks like he was just flying to the ball, and this is, I think this was just a great example of how you can tilt a game if you can generate a pass rush with a four-man front or with one person in the case of Chandler Jones, right? And so as a result, you look at Marco Wilson and the game he was able to play. He looked very confident by the end of it. You looked at Zaven Collins, who was okay. You look at Isaiah Simmons, who came up with a very intuitive, aware interception. And I think that all flowed from them being able to just to blow up that offensive line of Tennessee.
Yep. Hicks and Buda Baker played the most defensive snaps yesterday, 95% of the snaps. Simmons was in on 91%, by far the highest percentage he's had as a pro. The Zaven Collins thing was interesting because, we had Howard Balzer on from SI.com, and he pointed it out, and it was pointed out during the broadcast, too. Jordan Hicks was the guy that had the green dot. He was the one calling the signals. And Isaiah Simmons talked about Jordan Hicks playing that role for the Cardinals defense.
Jordan has the green dot, so he has the mic, so he gives the call. But when it comes to, adjustments, like maybe sliding the front, maybe checking the call, that's something that we're all able to do. So Jordan technically calls the defense, but me and Zaven are also fine-tuned in what the checks and everything are.
Now, do you put anything into in terms of stock that Zaven Collins played only 34%? Of the defensive snaps, 22 total.
Oh, well, I thought it was interesting that when they went to that certain package, it was Zaven Collins who came off the field and Isaiah Simmons stayed on in passing downs for Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I think it was probably more. No, I'm not all that surprised by it, to be honest with you.
I also think with the game getting sideways when it did, and the Titans had to throw the ball probably more than they were comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
They took Zaven Collins off in nickel situations. That number might look incredibly small, especially considering what was said by the Cardinals organization from day one after the draft that he's the starter at the Mike linebacker, but game flow didn't really lend itself to Zaven Collins playing that much. And I agree with you. I mean, for the times we saw Zaven Collins out there, he looked okay. Yeah. There was a couple plays where he got in there and came downhill and disrupted the Tennessee running game. And, for a first effort, it'd be one thing if, Zaven Collins wasn't on the field and the Titans were exerting their will in the run game and they lose that game. I mean, to nitpick the number of snaps that he played in his first game, I think, would be a disservice to him and what the Cardinals did defensively.
Yeah, and again, here's what I thought about this. Because going into the game, even though I was optimistic about the talent on this roster and very optimistic if Kyler Murray took that jump, and I've said repeatedly, a great quarterback in year three is going to make the jump, or he's probably not going to be great. And so I felt good about the Cardinals getting to a place this season where it was much higher ground than last year. But I was concerned about the internal spirit of this team. When you look at the Jordan Hicks story, a dude who was told, you cannot compete for a starting job. We're going to hand this starting job out to somebody.
But then it didn't happen.
But for that to go down, you'd have to imagine guys in the locker room going, what are we doing here? Okay? Then for Chandler Jones to not get paid, guys might be going, they'll give him money and not him money. So I was worried that there might be a lot of this stuff swirling around behind closed doors that you don't get to hear or see a lot of. And it would mentally affect, the way this team played. Now, sometimes teams rally around themselves and not necessarily their organization, but yesterday, at least for one game, there seemed to be something that came off that Cardinal team. They came in rolling hot.
Absolutely. And I think you got to give credit again to Chandler Jones and Jordan Hicks, who were in difficult situations.
Yeah.
They showed up in week one and conducted themselves as the ultimate pros.
Very well said. And like, very well said.
And like you said also, Chandler Jones absolutely dominating made everything else in that defense much easier. Because then all of a sudden,
yeah,
Isaiah Simmons could just sort of freelance and use his athleticism, and the secondary wasn't as big a question because he couldn't even throw the ball because he was getting sacked.
It was stunning the pressure they generated and the way they just blew up that offense, and Tennessee was slow to react. You could hear it in Mike Vrabel's voice in the cut you played. You could also see it on his face during the game. Couldn't believe what was going on. Yeah, I think the Titans did not expect to get punched in the mouth yesterday.
No. But there's a lot of local reaction in Nashville, frustrated Titans fans, too. You know, they knew they had a new offensive coordinator, pretty inexperienced. He was on the staff but got elevated from the tight ends coach and had 1 year of coordinator. That offense looked like it was being called by a guy who was, you know, in the infancy of his offensive coordinator career.
That dude, I guarantee you, that was one dude who walked into this headquarters, team headquarters, with his head down this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because he got educated.
Did he ever?
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620-620 right now. Coming up next in college football, we're only going to week three, but there's only three undefeated teams in the Pac-12. Arizona State is one of them. We'll talk to the head coach of the Sun Devils, Herm Edwards, next. It's Bickley and Murata, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. This is the Santan Ford Sun Devil Blitz with head coach Herm Edwards. The Sun Devil Blitz is presented in part by Gila River Hotels and Casinos. Gila River bleeds maroon and gold and is Arizona's official sports headquarters. And Santan Ford, Val Vista and the Santan 202 in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
37-10, ASU beats UNLV Saturday night. They moved to 2-0. They got BYU on Saturday in a matchup of ranked teams. And here to talk about it with us is the head coach of Arizona State football, Herm Edwards, who joins us here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Coach, thanks for the time. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. The win on Saturday, you guys pulled away late. When you hold that win up against UNLV, Coach, and you know the areas of improvement, where do you think you improved most from game one to game two?
Well, I think penalty-wise, we calmed down a little bit there. Running-wise, we ran the ball fairly well, which we need to do. That's kind of our staple. I still think in the passing game, we left some yards out there for sure. Defensively, didn't get any takeaways. Generally, we take the ball away, and that didn't happen. But we held them down. You know, we basically shut them out the second half. Mm-hmm. So I thought for the most part it was sluggish early in the game, and midway through the third quarter, we kind of got going, and we shut them out the second half, and then the offense was able to score some points in the third and fourth.
Now, do you think, Herm, in the second half of that game, that your defense, and this is a defense that came into the season with a lot of notoriety, a lot of hype, you feel like they started to find their stride in that second half?
I think so, but I think, you know, when you hold teams to 14 and 10 points, that's pretty good in college football.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, I mean, that's kind of where we're at right now. Now we'll find out how good we are this week when we play BYU, but I think when you can hold them under 20 points in college football defensively, you're doing a pretty good job.
Herm Edwards, our guest here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. I know you kind of called it a mixed bag after the game on Saturday, and that was Jaden Daniels rushing totals. He ran for over 100 yards, 122 yards, and you know, just watching that game, it's kind of a mixed reaction from fans, too. They love quarterbacks that'll go out and make plays with their legs, but I think a lot of Sun Devil fans are feeling that maybe Jaden's taking too much in terms of physical punishment. What your thoughts on that and, you know, the urging maybe for Jaden to get down when he's running the football?
Well, yeah, not run it as much either, 13 times, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little too much. I say that, and then I watch BYU's quarterback, and he's spectacular. Mm-hmm. He is spectacular. He is a really good football player. you know, he almost leads the team in rush, but he's running for almost 10 yards a carry when he runs. But, you know, you like the quarterback, obviously, to sit in the pocket as long as they can, and they're going to have to make some plays off schedule. And you know that's part of football anymore. The quarterback that can make the off-schedule plays down the field, throwing the ball, you know, that becomes very, very cumbersome to your defense. And the Cardinals quarterback did that this week. You know, you look at the Kansas City quarterback, he did it this week. They run around, all of a sudden they find someone down the field and make big plays. Jaden has that capability, and I think if he can do some more of that, we can get more explosive in the passing game.
All right, after successive years where Sun Devil fans have seen N'Keal Harry and Brandon Ayuk, there are a lot of people wondering, who's going to be the number one receiver of this group? Are we any closer to that, or is it going to be spread the ball, spread the wealth by committee all season long?
Well, I think we only played two games, obviously, and I think now heading into the stretch, we got 10 left. Somebody will emerge. We have some good candidates there, and I don't want to just point out one guy, but I think it's really going to boil down to who Jaden trusts and who he's familiar with, you know, and he's only played with these guys now. This is his second year. There's six games under his belt, four last year and two this season. So that thing's steadily developing, and we'll see who emerges. You know, it's kind of funny you say that because all of a sudden you get three receivers in 3 years get drafted. Two of them have to be first-round picks, and then Frank made it with the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
Good also. So that's a hard thing to follow if you're in that receiving group right now. Right?
Yeah. Specifically on a couple of guys, though, that I wanted to ask about, Coach. Johnny Wilson had the touchdown. He looked pretty comfortable on Saturday night. LV Bunkley Shelton is also, you know, he had the touchdown catch. Can you talk specifically on their continuing development?
Well, you're right. They were freshmen last year. Now, all of a sudden, they're in their second year. This is their sixth game being played, and they're starting to get more comfortable playing football at this level. So I think, you know, the more we play together offensively, especially with the receiving core, the more we will improve. And kudos to those guys. You know, they're young players, and they've got a chance to be pretty good. And I think there's some more guys over there as well. So it's a crew of young receivers that I think are going to come into their own, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks.
After the first game of the season, I loved your analogy about the Sun Devils playing the Sun Devils, and it wasn't working out well for you. I thought it was a very effective way to get that message across to a group full of young kids. After two games, going into a nice test this weekend, how do you feel about where you're at? Are you comfortable with where this team is at after two games?
Well, I think we felt going into the season that the two opponents we played early, we felt we were a better football team. Mm-hmm. And I think you can't deny that to the players. But now all of a sudden we're going to meet a team that has won a lot of games in two seasons. They have a lot of experience. They're playing in a venue that is a tough venue to win in. They beat Utah there this week. It's been about 11 years since they beat them there. And just looking at the crowd and the atmosphere, I've been there before as a coach with San Jose State team. It's a fun venue to play in, very loud, very vocal crowd. So this is what you want as a football team. You want to go into a venue like this and you kind of figure out and find out where you're at.
Herm Edwards, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I just wanted to get your thought. I mean, we've only seen two games for each team in the Pac-12, but your overall thoughts on what we're seeing in the conference so far, only three undefeated teams, you're among them. There's been some upsets. There's been upsets both ways with the Oregon beating Ohio State. I mean, what's your early take on the rest of the conference?
I think it's going to boil down to, like it always does, very competitive. I don't think a team in the conference, either in the North or the South, has ever gone undefeated in conference play. So it's a unique conference in the sense that, you know, very competitive. And I just think we recruit a lot of the same players. So that's kind of interesting. And you're right. You know, every week in college football, I say it every week, hard to win a game. It's hard. And there's always upsets. And you see it and you try to warn your teams of that. And when Sunday night or when Saturday night is over, you look at some of the scores and you go, wow, how did that happen?
Right. I want to get your take on Darian Butler and what he means to this defense. For a guy that wasn't all that heralded coming to ASU, I mean, this guy has just made play after play in the first couple of weeks. What does he mean to your defense?
Well, he's the heart and soul of the defense. He's one of the team captains. He earns a lot of respect from the players here. He's been a starter ever since he walked on campus as a freshman. And to see his development, his maturity as a young man, it's fun to watch. And, you know, his ability to speak and people listen, whether it's offensive players, defensive players. And I think, you know, when you can play the way he plays at the type of level he's playing at these first 2 weeks, players respect that. They see it on tape, you know, and they see what he means to this football team. So it's just fun to watch him develop as a young player.
Herm, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations on the win. Best of luck against BYU, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, my friends. Appreciate you both.
Herm Edwards, head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils, our weekly guest on Monday mornings as they get ready for a big test. You heard him say it there.
Yeah.
Provo's no joke to go in there and play, and BYU looks like they got another good football team.
But to me, this is, okay, Oregon made an impact statement for the Pac-12, and this conference as a whole must be really sick and tired of being talked about the way they have and all that stuff.
Well, you already said there's only three undefeated teams.
Right.
Only in week two.
Right. Yeah. And USC just went and did what USC does, right? And this has sort of been what this conference has been recently. Then they'll get good at the end of the year, mm-hmm. and they'll knock off teams that didn't struggle early the way they did. This is a chance for ASU to jump on that train, if you will. That's a good analogy of talking to Herb. See what
it
I
is.
Did there?
It is.
Right? To follow up, go and do this, win a big game, and see where it takes you.
Coming up next, the Cardinals did just that. They went on the road. They won a big game against the Tennessee Titans to open their season. We'll focus on the play of the quarterback, Kyler Murray. Is he the MVP through week one? I almost got it out with a straight face. We'll explore next. Bickley Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I'm on the train.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
J.J. Watt is lined up in the backfield with Fotu. They fake it and run Murray to the right. He sticks the ball out, walks into the end zone, pitches it to the official. It's a 2-yard touchdown run. That's J.J. Watt eye candy on the left side. It leads to Murray hitting pay dirt on the right side, and it's 23-6 Arizona.
Yeah. I like that. You get J.J. in there, Lecky in there, and then, I honestly, when I came out there, I thought somebody was going to, you know, contain, but it is what it is.
It's Kyler Murray following the highlight of the Kyler Murray touchdown run by Dave Pasch. It made it look easy.
He did.
I like the phrase eye candy to put in J.J. Watt and Lecky Fotu, about, you know, 600-plus pounds of decoy blocker going left.
That's a sure way to make a skittish quarterback feel more comfortable, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Put those two guys in the backfield with you.
Yeah, but then, hey, skittish quarterback, if you are such, you're not following those guys. You're on your own.
Yeah, well, that is true.
And you could hear the smile in Kyler Murray's voice. Yeah, and said, I thought somebody would contain. There was nobody there, and he knew it as soon as he turned.
Well, what was beautiful about it is I think Tennessee saw that, and they just assumed, okay, they're really going to flex on us here. They're going to hand the ball off to J.J. Watt. They're going to throw it to him. Something like that, and I thought that was a fabulous moment for Cliff Kingsbury.
It was.
That formation, that play, the fact that Kyler Murray, when he bootlegged to the right, flashed the ball from the 8.5-yard line. I mean, he had 8.5 yards to cover, and in the NFL, with the closing speed in the NFL, it tells you something about Kyler Murray's speed that he was able to kind of pimp that thing at that moment.
Yep, here was Cliff Kingsbury on with Paul Calvisi on the Cardinals radio network on that particular package and play.
Right, how much did you enjoy the touchdown with J.J. Watt and Lecky Fotu as part? I'm not sure what you call it. Is that your jumbo package? What do you call that?
Megawatt.
Yeah, megawatt.
That's great.
So complete decorative, you know, look with those two big guys and then run it the other way.
You finally leveraged the rugby background of Lucky Fotu, huh?
That's it. That's it. He's been asking for the ball when he does speak, which is very rarely.
Yeah, I know the CBS broadcast, too, was pointing it out, like when they got down close to the goal line. J.J. Watt has a lot of goal line offensive experience. He's got a couple touchdowns on his resume. And when that package came in, they were like, uh-oh, here it comes.
See, that's the beauty. That is offensive innovation and genius.
Yes.
It's not running a trick play with those guys. It's not running the trick play when those guys are out there. Because it's like playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers.
Yeah, I mean, the element of trick play, just to have those guys in there and personnel. And how about him saying Lucky Fotu has been asking for the football?
Now, well, and that's the kind of thing that does build camaraderie, and it builds a sense of fun, and it kind of bridges offense and defense and brings them together and all that kind of stuff.
It's definitely also stuff that I think we all thought we'd see more of in the Cliff Kingsbury era. This more like interesting, weird, innovative plays. Because we were, you know, sold so much that he was going to be so innovative.
Yeah. Kyle Odegaard, former azcardinals.com writer, with a very brave take in Arizona and a very smart take. Quote, I know Larry Fitzgerald is an icon, but the Cardinals were hamstrung with him in the slot last year. Now that Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk are there, Cliff Kingsbury's scheme can flourish.
Look, we've had the discussions, you know, was it Larry Fitzgerald slipping? Was it misuse? It might have been a combination of those things, but they didn't look very hindered at all offensively yesterday to have different players in the slot. Larry Fitzgerald at 6'3", 220 pounds, is not the, you know, prototypical slot guy and didn't have the prototypical speed that you'd like or shiftiness from a slot guy. So Kyle might be right on the money. Kyler Murray was fantastic yesterday. Mm-hmm. Outside of a couple plays, the ill-advised interception when he probably could have pulled it down and ran for the first down, tried to make a play, and he acknowledged it, said that can't happen, but the reaction from around the country on what Kyler Murray was able to do. From NFL.com, Nick Shook, takeaways. If we awarded the league MVP in week one, Kyler Murray won it in a landslide. Murray pulled off a handful of the best sandlot style plays you'll ever see, lofting a pass across his body for a touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins, then led a couple of back foot passes ripped to Christian Kirk for two scores. In between, his mobility caused plenty of headaches and a handful of highlight reel fakeouts on his way to an explosive stat line. 21 of 32, 289 yards, four touchdowns, and one interception. A.J. Green's arrival certainly helps, but it's Murray that makes this unit tough to stop. From Dan Pompey on mm-hmm. The Athletic, which team impressed you most after its week one performance? He says the Cardinals, which might surprise some people. Kyler Murray played like an MVP candidate and could be ready to take his game to another level. DeAndre Hopkins showed again that he can be impossible to defend. The Arizona defense looked excellent with Chandler Jones dominating and J.J. Watt adding another dimension. This might. I watched every opening game that the Arizona Cardinals have played uh-huh. since they moved here in 1988. Uh-huh. This might be the most overwhelmingly positive feeling after an opener ever.
Wow.
I mean, I have to go through and look at some of those Week One wins. But
what they do? What they do?
Thorough dismantling.
What they do in Week One in 2009, the year after they made the Super Bowl appearance? I'm curious about that. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's an interesting perception, and you might be right, because given the quality of the opponent, at least we thought what that opponent was going to be, given the fact that we all thought the Titans had an elite offense and they were going up against a defense that certainly was going to have holes in it, and none of that happened. Yeah, you're probably right.
They lost that game. Yeah. In San Francisco on the road, they lost to the Niners 20-16.
What a bunch of losers.
All four of their preseason games, for the record.
They lost all four of their preseason games, too?
Yeah. And then lost to the Niners, beat the Jags in week two, lost to the Colts in week three.
Wow. They were 1-2 at one point?
Yeah. And then they rattled off three straight, lost one. Okay. Three straight, lost one.
I'm going to have to go back and look that up, relive some. not only good memories, but some painful memories, because there were some painful season openers, too.
Well, the beauty of this was because how much talk was there about they have a high ceiling, and a, like the difference between their floor and their ceiling for this Cardinals team was so dramatic, maybe more than any other team in the NFL. After week one, it looks like they're going to be closer to that ceiling than the floor.
Yes.
Which again, is very exciting. One game, I know.
It's one game, and you still have what we're all used to, a full slate of NFL games left. There's 16 games remaining. I mean, it's almost like a free game.
Yeah. From, yes.
You know, the old school video games.
Bonus game.
Look, you couldn't have asked for a better performance in week one. I mean, I guess maybe to iron out some of the early sloppiness and penalties, but it might be even more impressive that they were able to iron that out as the game went on.
Matt Prater missed a field goal. I don't know how you could be happy about that game.
Somebody get Zane Gonzalez on the horn, okay.
Yeah,
please.
Right. Oh, right.
We continue on this Big Red Monday. Woo-hoo! Social Studies is next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.